Well, I'm excited today. It's a good day. And you know what? Jesus may come back today. He may. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. But you know what? Jesus is coming back. And that's sort of our theme today. Is Jesus coming back? You know, when I said that, these young kids were kind of looking at me like, really? Really? Could Jesus come back today? Well, I always remember I had one of my friends growing up. He said, you know what? He didn't want Jesus to come back because he wasn't ready. He says, I know how I'm going to keep Jesus from coming back today. Is that I'm going to think he's going to come today. And if I think he's going to come today, he can't come today. Because he's going to come at such an hour as you think not. So he's not coming today. I'm thinking about, but we don't know, do we? But since my friend was thinking that he would come, then he didn't think he'd come. So then Jesus then could come, right? Am I making any sense? It's kind of a long way about to say that. But I just know that many years ago they talked a lot about when I was a young person in high school, as a lot of you people are, and it's so wonderful to see our young people and to have a little list with you to pray for the people that are repenting, the young people are repenting, the young people that have been baptized. So anyway, so it's great to pray for them, and it's great to see them and see you here. But when I was sitting in Sunday school, my teacher would talk back in the 70s, you know, Jesus is probably coming soon. And that was sort of a thought, that a very prevalent thought about that Jesus is coming soon. And you know, that was a question we had. Jesus, when are you coming back? And that's a question that we're going to look at today. So let's look at, let's turn to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. And let's now the first, if you just glance at it, the first four verses talk about two mites, and then basically, the rest of the chapter talks about two questions. So we're talking about two mites and then two questions. Okay, let's look at the two mites first. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting in their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God, but she of her poverty hath cast in all the living that she had. Okay, let's just stop a minute. Where was Jesus at this point? Well, Jesus was in the temple. And if you, if you go back to chapter 20, it talks about that. The first verse says, and it came to pass that on one of those days he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel. So he was in the temple. And now he came out, and there's an area where they had giving, like 13 containers that you could give. And I just think it's interesting that Jesus stopped there. In the temple, he's in the temple, and he just was watching these people give. You know, I think that's just kind of fascinating. You know, could you imagine, the treasurer standing back by the box back there and just standing there watching people give? You know, okay, they just watch people give. It's just kind of an interesting setting, I think. You know, Jesus watching the people give. And so he was watching the rich people give. He was watching the poor give. And also, just one other bit of context, at least it helps me. It's almost, I picture Jesus kind of like the President of the United States at this point. Because a lot of people have questions. And so, you know, whenever they can run up to Jesus and ask him a question, they would do that. And they did that in chapter 20. You know, they said, by what authority do you do this? And, you know, they ask him, and here they have questions too. And they just would ask him questions. And you know what day this is in Jesus' life? It's really about the end. This is basically some of his last teachings on earth. This is a Tuesday. He didn't do much on Wednesday. Thursday was the Last Supper. And then you know what happened Friday. So this was right at the end of his life. So he's in the temple right at the end of his life. He watched the rich man and the widow put in their money. And now so those are the two mites, and now we'll talk basically about the two questions here, and let's just read the rest of the chapter, and then we'll sing, and then we'll pray, and then we'll lift up our heads because our redemption is drawing nigh. Maybe Jesus is coming back. Maybe not. I don't know, but I'm excited about that opportunity. Verse 5. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned in goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they said unto it, they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? There are the two questions. And then Jesus responds. The rest of the writings through 36 is his response to that. Verse 8. And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for all these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. and let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them which are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now, those tremendous verses. And he spake unto them a parable. Behold, a fig tree and all the trees, when now they shoot forth, ye see and know that of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. Luke 21. You know, Jesus says that we are to watch and pray. And why don't we sing that hymn? Let's sing hymn 121, Watch and Pray.
Find the land in every wind, no dream.
Let's kneel together and pray. Lord, we are excited this morning just at the opportunity that, Lord Jesus, that today thou may come back. And Lord, we do want to pray, even now, to watch and pray, to look at the signs, and to, Lord, to see that our redemption draws near. Lord, thy coming could be very close, and yet people have thought that throughout history. So yet we do know that it's closer than it was yesterday, and Lord, we look forward to that. And Lord Jesus, we thank thee for thy words, that thou didst go to prepare a place for us, and that thou didst go to prepare a place for us, thou will come again and receive us with thee, that where thou art, we shall be also. And Father, we look forward to that. What a beautiful promise, Lord, that thou hast prepared a place for us, and that we can go be with thee. And we're thankful, Lord, for just thy word. And even as we read, heaven and earth will pass away. Lord, this building will be burned. We know that Peter says that the earth shall be burned and everything in it. In those end times, the earth will be destroyed, and Lord Jesus, thou will make it new. So Lord, help us to lift up our eyes. We know that we do want to set our affections on things above, Lord, and help us to do that today. And help us to be ready, Lord. And we're so thankful. It does create joy, and it creates our heart to beat a little faster. It creates anticipation and expectation and an excitement, Lord, knowing that thou will come and get us. Just because of the place, Lord, that you'll take us. We know that the tabernacle of God will be then with men. And we shall see thee, Lord, face to face. And thou shalt wipe away all tears from our eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. These old things here on earth will pass away. And Lord Jesus, thou will make all things new. What a wonderful promise. We look forward to that. And we're thankful that those loved ones could go and be with thee, Lord Jesus, absent from the body but present with the Lord. We rejoice in that, Lord. So God, help us to be attentive to thy spirit, thy teaching, thy word. And Jesus, these are important words. Just to, even as we know that thou dost not waste time or waste words or waste opportunities in the last couple days of thy life. So, Lord Jesus, thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for dying for us. Thank thee for sending thy Holy Spirit to us that can live in our hearts. And, Lord Jesus, thou dost dwell in our hearts by faith. And, Lord, that thou dost give us that hope and that promise of eternal life. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Christ. So, Lord, we just thank thee for that. Bless our time. Bless our morning. For thy kingdom and thy glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, brother.
Well, I do want to tell you that out of the three resources and the three Bibles and commentaries that I was using for this, each one had some different thoughts. So I said, oh, which one is right? I don't know which one's right. You know, and I, you know, it just, it's interesting to study this because I tend to steer away from this. That's just me personally. I like the practical stuff. You know, give me Ephesians 4, give me Ephesians 5, give me Ephesians 6, give me Colossians 3, give me Colossians 4. You know, give me 1 Corinthians 13. Give me any proverb. You know, those are just, give me James. James is really good. You know, I like the practical things. You know, the kind of the life here, as we live it. Because this is a lot of speculation, isn't it? But you know what? We do need to look at this. And we need to address this. And I was I was excited to have this chapter just to visit about. And I think of you young converts. I've told this story before, but I love this because Jesus says, you know, he talks about as the Son of Man let in Acts, as the Son of Man went into the clouds, he's going to come again in the same manner. And I remember as a new convert, I felt I had a first love. I had a first love for Jesus, you know, as a convert. And that first love was very real. And I felt that love for Jesus. And we don't want to lose that first love, do we? But it takes a walk. It takes a walk. We just keep walking with Jesus. And I'm thankful for Jesus. I think I love Jesus as much now as I did there, maybe more. There should be more. But there's a first love. And this was back in the 70s. And there was a lot of talk about Jesus coming back. In fact, I've got an old map that someone gave me. And it was a map of Israel. And it showed how all the armies were going to come in to Armageddon. And there was going to be a battle. And we were expecting it. And we were expecting Armageddon. And the Russia is going to come in from the north. India may send some troops here. You've got the Middle East. You've got China coming across, and they're going to swoop in on Israel, and there's going to be the Battle of Armageddon, and then we're going to the rapture, and we're going to go to heaven. I mean, that was in my mind. And it was an exciting time, really, because I was ready to go. I was ready to go be with Jesus. And I drove my little Volkswagen back to Grace College. And I drove in the parking lot, and I heard some news on the radio. And I thought, oh, did they say Russia's attacking? I just heard something. Russia's attacking Israel. That went in my mind. Probably wasn't right, but I don't know. It's something. Probably Russia, probably Israel, probably something. I go, oh, no, Russia's attacking Israel. I know Jesus is coming back. I know he's coming. And it was a beautiful morning. And they were puffy white clouds, just beautiful puffy white clouds, you know. And then sky, and then beautiful puffy white clouds and sky. You can just imagine it, can't you? And I opened my door, and the sun was shining. It was a beautiful day. And I looked up, and I knew Jesus was going to come out of those clouds. I knew it. And I was just waiting. I just stood there. You see, he's coming. I know he's coming. Just as he went away in the clouds, he's coming again in the clouds. And I looked up and I thought, I was sure. I was convinced. Well, it'd be nice. I wouldn't have to go to class. Come on, Jesus. You know, I don't like music appreciation anyway. You know. Or maybe it was art appreciation, interesting classes. You know, I thought, come on, Jesus. And he didn't come that time. But he's going to come, isn't he? He's going to come. That's a beautiful reminder. You know, and maybe we don't talk about that too much, but it's a good day to talk about that. But let's push pause just a second on that. Let's go to the widow. Talk about the widow. Why did Jesus say in verse 4, or 3, of a truth I tell you, this widow hath cast in more than they all. She cast in 2 mites, and it was more than all of them. How is that? Well, she gave all that she had. And I thought, why would she give all she had? And I sat at my desk, and I wrote a fiction about the woman with 2 mites. I wrote a little fiction story. Can I tell it to you? This is just my story. I mean, I'd be interested in see what your story would be about this. This widow had lost her husband, and and she was very poor. I mean, she just, you know, she had to go in the fields and glean. She struggled to even. I mean, she just worked hard. Being poor meant she struggled, and she worked. And this working widow, she had food. She had food. But this day, there was a friend from church. You have to realize this is fiction. A friend from church brought her some meals over. And it was meals for the whole week. And it doesn't take much to take care of a widow, right? This friend brought a week's worth of meals and gave them to her. And this widow was just honored and thrilled, and it just brought tears to her eyes. But the friend also gave her two coins and said, "Here's two coins. I want to give you these two coins. Why don't you go down the street?" This is contemporary. "Go down the street and get a peppermint mocha. Or, you know, buy some drinks. You know, this is for drinks. I've got the food. I didn't bring any drinks, but here's some money. And please use it. You can use it for a drink. Or go down and get a very berry strawberry shake. Or go get, buy 24, container 24 waters. Go get you a drink. I've got the food here. Go get a drink." And, you know, she says, "You know what? I can get water from the well. I can get plenty of water from the well. And I am so grateful." And she just said, "God, thanks for providing again. Thanks for that dear friend that brought me this food. Thank you that I'm taken care of for a period of time. Thank you, Lord, for giving me my daily bread. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Thank you. And even for a week, I've got a week in advance of food." And so she took those two coins and she said, "I'm going to give those to the Lord. I'm going to give them to the Lord. I am so grateful, and I don't need a peppermint mocha or a frozen Coke from Speedway. I don't need those drinks, even though they sound so good. I'm going to go and give this at the temple." And she went to the temple, and she put those coins in. And who was watching? Jesus was watching. And I love that story. I don't know if it's very, I mean, it's definitely fiction. But, you know, this lady knew that all she got, all that she had, came from whom? It came from God. You know, 1 Chronicles 29, it's a 29, 11 through 13 is a memory verse from the Crown Financial Study. Both, and maybe she did it, or maybe she, but it says, "Both riches and honor come of thee." She said, "Oh, that's right. This came from the Lord. This is the Lord's. Both riches and honor come of the Lord." And she also says, you know, "I'm going to honor God." It says, "Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase." Honor God. She says, "It's come from God. I want to honor God. I want to honor God with the first fruits of all my increase. I'm going to give this. I'm going to give this back to the Lord." And also she said, you know, "I'm going to give it out of love. Because if I have, though I give all that I possess and have not love, it doesn't profit me anything. I'm going to give this out of love." And Jesus saw that. Jesus said, that woman is giving that to the Lord out of love. And also she wanted to give generously. Because God loves a generous giver. God loves that. And she gave that. And it's a model. It's a model for you and I. Let's be a giver like that. Okay. You ready to roll on end times? There is an article in the Indianapolis Star. I cut the article out. And just because it was very interesting to me. It says 8 compelling reasons why, and I'm going to, you know, I should read this the way the print is. You know, the bigger the print. 8 compelling reasons why Jesus is coming very, very soon. Can I give you 8 compelling reasons? Well, Jesus talked about these reasons in Scripture here. He went over them. But this was, Jesus is coming very, very soon. And this was back in 1998. So, well, if a day's like 1,000 years to the Lord and 1,000 years like a day, it's okay. It could be very soon, couldn't it? We don't know. We don't know the time. Are you a pre-trib person? Pre-tribulation? Do you think Jesus come pre-trib? Are you post-trib? Or are you mid-trib? Pre-trib? Isn't it interesting? We think about these. We don't know when Jesus is coming back, but we know he is coming back. And I look forward to that day. And whether it's day, I am not sure. But he said there are some signs. There are signs given. And in verse 6, before you get to these signs, they said, look at this temple. It's a beautiful temple. And this is a very specific prophetic utterance by Jesus. And look at what verse 6 says. As for these things which you behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So if you think about this, there is not going to be one stone left upon another. And that happened in AD 70 when the Romans came in to conquer Jerusalem. And you know the interesting thing about that is many Christians were not in Jerusalem. They did it right at the Passover. Makes me sad. But they did it right at the Passover so they'd get more Jews in the city. You know, they waited the Passover. So all these Jews came into the city, the Jewish people. And they wanted them in the city. Why? They wanted to destroy them. So here they come into the city. But the Christians were saying, here comes an army. Let's get out of here. Jesus said, let's get out of here. She said, don't stay around. You know, when you see this happening, verse 20, and when you shall see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Let them that are in Judea flee to the mountains. And that's exactly what these Christians did. They had heard Jesus say this. And they kept this in mind. And they said, here come, the Roman soldiers are coming. They're going to come. So a lot of them left, but the Jewish people came in, and it was a terrible scene. You know, they slaughtered 1.1 million, and they took 17 and younger. They took them as slaves. They took some, and they would take them to the arenas, and they would use them as martyrs, and gladiators. And it just was a terrible time for the Jewish people. And many of them were slaughtered, and they didn't want to burn the temple because it was a beautiful temple. It was a temple that Herod had made. It's like, it was almost like 36 acres, a beautiful place. It took him, I think, 80 years to build this whole. That'd be a lot of building, an 80-year work project. You know, you think the construction around here is bad. It took him 80 years. And then it was a few years after that that they destroyed the temple. But anyway, the Roman leaders didn't want to destroy the temple. It was beautiful. They wanted to save it. So when they took over, they could, have it as a really beautiful site. But they came in, and some of those crazy soldiers, as they're slaughtering people, and the people were thirsty and hungry, and they're weak. Didn't matter. I don't even want to imagine it. But it happened. They slaughtered the people as they came in, and then they went in, and some of these crazy soldiers started the temple on fire. And they didn't want it. The leaders didn't want it to burn, but they couldn't stop them. They couldn't stop these soldiers. They were just going crazy, just as a mob. And so it started burning down, and all the beautiful ornament, the gold, ornate gold and things, just melted. So they made the soldiers knock every stone down and get the gold right between all the stones. So they totally destroyed it, just as Jesus said. There's not going to be one stone left upon another. And that's exactly what happened. There was not one stone left upon another. So what shall some of the signs be? We read through here. We read of many of the signs. I mean, and there were lots of signs given here. Let's look at verse 8. If you just kind of skim through them with your eyes, in verse 8, there's going to be deception. So people are going to come and say, I am Christ. And there'll be false Christs. There'll be deception. You'll be deceived. Take heed that you be not deceived. There'll be deceptions. There'll be false Christs come. Verse 9, there's going to be wars. And I think this talks about this is referring to before Jesus comes back. I don't think this is referring to that time right then. I think this is the time before Jesus comes back. Verse 10, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be great earthquakes in different places, earthquakes and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs from heaven. And these are all going to be given as signs. You know, and I even now when I check the news, does somebody uncheck the news for me quick? Just real quick. I'm just real curious. Don't do it, but just think about doing it. Because I think about this every once in a while, particularly today. You know, what happened in Iraq on Friday. And I check. I said, and my curiosity gets to me. I said, are we at war yet? I don't know if you think that, but I think, are we at war yet? I'm going to check my phone. Are we at war yet? Not at war yet. Good, put it away. Are we at war yet? I mean, I kind of just wondering. I'm wondering what's going on. And when you think of Afghanistan, you think of Iran, you think of Iraq, you think of China today. You think of Russia, you think of Turkey, you think of Syria, you think of Israel. Is there war yet? I mean, this is so relevant. Jesus says, when you see these things, those are going to be kind of be signs. And, and I'll give them to you as I give them to you, just kind of watch, be alert. It may not happen today, but it may. I'd love it to happen today. Wouldn't it be great, boys, just to all of a sudden go up with Jesus? I mean, I could grab one of your legs. We could go together, couldn't we? You know, and I'd let somebody grab my other leg. It'd be just awesome just to float up and be with Jesus. I would. That would be awesome. Okay, look at verse 12. So we talked about some of the signs, and then Jesus in verse 12 almost. He's going to go back. He says, but before these things, they shall lay their hands on you. Now, I think this is talking specifically to the disciples now. Verse 12. You see kind of that transition? But again, different resources say different things. But before all these, they shall lay hands on you. And this is kind of sad to me too. Because it happened to the disciples. And persecute you, delivering you into synagogues, into prisons, and being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it's a tough time here. You'll be into synagogues, you'll be drug into prison, but you know what? You know what's encouraging? Look at verse 13. Why is God doing this? And I think of Paul and Silas in the jail at Philippi. Why did God put them in jail? It wasn't by accident. They could share their testimony, the Philippian jailer, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Okay, and Jesus says, settle it therefore in your hearts. You know, and it was a terrible thing. How many of the disciples were crucified? Did that really happen? Well, according to history, Peter, Philip, Simon, Bartholomew, Andrew, and James were crucified. These followers of Jesus. And that's exactly what Jesus said would happen. How about Matthew and James died of a sword? John died natural death. Thaddeus was killed by arrows. James, the brother of Jesus, was stoned. And Thomas was speared and killed. And that's exactly what happened. But, you know, I think they settled it in their hearts and they knew that they followed their Savior. They were willing to pay that price. It was not too great of a price. In fact, didn't Peter say, I don't want to be crucified right side up. Turn me upside down because I don't deserve to be crucified like Jesus. So there was and we see this happening to the disciples. Verse 16, They're betrayed by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends in verse 16. They'll be put to death. They'll be hated of all men in verse 17. And then, as we even talked about, verse 20. If we go to 20, that Jerusalem was compassed about by armies. That really happened to the disciples. They would, verse 24, they'd fall by the edge of the sword. 24, look at again. They would be led away captive, and Jerusalem would be trodden down. And that's exactly what happened. And it's hard to know, you know, whether it's a prophecy for us or a prophecy for the disciples. And I think it kind of comes and goes. Verse 25 maybe relates more to end times now. And again, it's hard to be real definitive on this. But to me, starting at verse 25, then it talks about the coming of the Son of Man. And I'm just going to, let's go to wrap up, kind of. You know, when I see all this, what should my response be? How should I respond to this, knowing that Jesus is going to come back? What should I do? And there are some very... I think some very good takeaways. Let's go back to 14 and 15. It says, "Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom." I believe that. I believe that if persecution came today, that God would give us, I trust his word, God would give us wisdom on how to respond. God would give us the right answers. Now, and I thought, now who's a good example in Scripture that was given wisdom during a tough time? Think about that just a minute. Who was given an answer? Who did God give an answer? And maybe some of you will think of Jesus on the cross. That's a good response. You know, Jesus, I love those seven words on the cross. I mean, how much more wisdom could be shared during persecution, during crucifixion? What would I say? Man, if I had say what Jesus said, that would be from God. But God says, I'll give you words. But you know what I thought of? I thought of David. King David. Here David is running from his father-in-law. Not a good father-in-law. He's running from his father-in-law, and his father-in-law wants to kill him. And he comes into that, remember, he comes into the cave, and David's men says, "God's deliver him into your hands." And David says, "No, no." He said, "I'm just going to cut off part of his robe." And then King Saul left. And David followed him out. And the words that David spoke are just really amazing. You know, he holds up and he says, "Look at this, Saul." He says, I could have killed you, but I didn't. And I shouldn't kill you. And the Lord delivered me into your hand today. And he said, "Moreover, my father, you know, did you see this, what I have in my hand? And I didn't want to do evil to you. I didn't want to do evil. And the Lord judge between me and thee and be our rewarder. And the Lord be our judge. But I'm not going to lift my hand against you." And you know, that's kind of what he said. I just think that when I read that, I think that is from God. You know, God gave him wisdom. And I really feel like God will give us wisdom, as the scripture says here. Settle it in your hearts. And don't worry. You know, Jesus talked about that. Don't be so afraid of this end time. Now, I think we will be, but I think that's a promise we can take. Let's look at verse 34. It says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any times your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life." Now, you really need to watch out. Take heed means to hold in mind, hold it in your mind. Hold in your mind that thought and pay attention to that. And be cautious, and to apply oneself, and to adhere to. You know, God says, or Jesus said, you know, take heed to yourself. And what is he talking about? He says, don't be like this. Now look what he says. I looked at some other translations. One translation says, but be aware in your souls that your hearts never grow cold with, listen to this, with gluttony. I thought, but that's really good. Don't let your hearts grow cold with gluttony and drunkenness and the cares of this world, that suddenly it shall come upon you in that day. You know, you'll be unaware when they come back. You don't want to be caught unaware. Did you know as a teacher that sometimes the superintendent would come into my room and just visit? You know, the principal would say, okay, today the superintendent's coming, just be ready. Man, oh man, we will get ready. You know, you get ready and you're on your best game and, you know, you keep looking at the door and you go, you know, you get going. You say, man, I hope she comes in. It was a she at that time. There were different superintendents. Man, when she comes in, I hope, come on in now. Come on, Peggy, get in here. Then the kids start acting up, pull the blinds, don't come in now. You know, I mean, you wait for the superintendent or something. I mean, we're waiting for Jesus to come back. Or your kids, your parents go out on a date and you get to stay home. And they just said, keep it cool. And you didn't keep it cool. You went crazy. You know, popcorns everywhere, pillow fights, feathers laying on. You know, clean it up. Your mom and dad are coming. You know what? Jesus is coming. And let's don't be gluttons. It's a great warning. Let's don't be drunk. You know, let's don't be worried about the cares of this world. Because when we lift up our eyes and see that our redemption draws nigh, things change in our heart. When we think Jesus may come today, we're more interested in other people, aren't we? We're more interested in those around us. Jesus may come back today. And you know what? I want them to go with me to heaven. And we think, oh, we need to make sure we give them opportunity. And you know, then sometimes even the things of this world grow strangely dim, don't they? If we think about Jesus coming today. I don't have to worry about that back right tire that says about every month or every 3 weeks it says, low tire, low tire, low tire. Come on, I took it in and have it fixed. Don't worry about it. We're going to heaven. I mean, those things just don't matter too much, do they? Those little things, leaves in my yard, I need to get those leaves out of my yard. I've already raked about 6 times. I need to get the seventh rake done in my yard. I don't worry about Jesus coming back today. Now listen, we can't be slothful, but we need to be watching. And when we're watching, we think, oh, you know, this is what I need to do. And what does Jesus say? Here in the scripture, he says that, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass. My word. So being involved with people and being involved with God's word has got to be a priority. So what else? Just as far as a takeaway. I think the challenge to watch and pray is key. Watch and pray. Watch. Did you know that Seth was a guard at one time? My son Seth, he was appointed all night to stay up and watch as a guard at the children's home. He had to stay up and make sure nobody came sneaking in to their cell and would steal things. I don't think it would happen at Leo, and I don't think it's that big of a deal. But I'm trying to make it a big deal. But he was a guard. And he had to stay. I don't know if he stayed up all night or not. But I heard about this. He told me. So he stayed up. And they had to be alert. They had to watch. And it was a hard thing. But you know, for Seth to be sleeping in his duties, not a good thing. In fact, Jesus says, you watch and pray. Don't sleep. You stay awake. You watch and pray. He said that in the garden. He says it here. You watch and pray. How are we doing? How am I doing? Am I a good soldier watching? Am I a good guard watching? I really, boy, it's night. Ooh, I hear a noise. What is that noise? Okay, men, let's get the flashlights out. Get those lights on. Oh man, it's a possum. Forget it. You know, I mean, I don't know what they did. But we are to be like that. We are to watch as a guard at night, straining, listening, ready for Jesus to come. Maybe morning. They used to sing a lot more. They used to sing a lot of songs related to Jesus coming back, at least in my time. I went back and listened to some of those old songs. Like, I wish we all been ready. You remember some of those songs? The old songs? It's really quite a contrast to what you see today. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm not making too much comment on it. But if you really want to, you should go back and compare what the music was like when I was a kid, Christian music, when I was young, to what it is like now. It's really... But listen to this. This was a song, and we'll close with this. I've got two of them. Let's do Jesus is Coming Soon. This is what the song says. Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we hold so dear is at stake. Humbling your hearts to God saves us from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod. Christians awake, because it says Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound, all the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. You know, and these are some of the songs that they used to sing back in the 70s. And you know, one group was called the Maranatha group. Maybe you remember, I don't know, maybe you've heard of the Maranatha group. But anyway, Maranatha means is Jesus is coming soon. And they would greet people that way. You know, like they'd say, greetings, brother, or greetings, sister. But then they would say, Maranatha. Now, I'm not sure how they did it. I'm just making this up. But we could do that. So when you say greetings, brother, say Maranatha. Could you try that today? Some of you aren't going to do it, are you? That's fine. But think about it. Greetings, sister, Maranatha. Or just say Maranatha. Because what that means is Jesus is coming soon. Okay? Maranatha.
Maranatha, indeed. Do we believe that Jesus is coming soon? Right? Do we think it? And we could probably tell by the two mites, or 2 days and two mites, right? Are we at the end of chapter 21, carried in the drunkenness and the gluttony and the cares of this life? Or are we two mites? All in. Do we believe Jesus is coming soon? Let's sing 501 together. 501.
Oh! would now invite a brother to please lead us in a closing prayer, and we would ask that you include the meal.
Heavenly Father, we come before Thee once more in this day to give Thee thanks. And we thank Thee most of all for the signal that we have just received from Thee, dear Lord Jesus. Thy words in red there in Luke 21. And the signal was clear that there are more than eight reasons. There are many, many reasons that Thy return is imminent. And we pray that we would find grace. As the song just said, by Thy grace, we will hold the fort. We'll prepare our lives for Thy return. We'll go spread the gospel. We'll be a light and example in a dark world. We'll be clear focused. We'll give all our mights. We'll do whatever the Holy Spirit calls us to do. Help us to walk by Thy grace, that we may live a life that's clear to others, that it's about Jesus Christ and not about ourselves. It's about salvation through Him. It's about His shed blood. It's about the empty tomb. It's about the new hope that we have on the resurrection morn, or when Thy Son returns. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this time we could spend together around Thy Word. We pray for grace that we may continue to apply this word in our lives and hold the fort. And now we go to the dining hall, and we thank Thee for providing once again the hands which have prepared it, the wages that have went into purchasing this food, and the love that now is shown as we even go and partake and break bread together. We thank Thee for this brotherhood we have. We find it an encouragement wherever we would come together and worship Thee and fellowship one with another. And we thank Thee for Thy Son, Heavenly Father, dear Lord Jesus, and in His name we pray. Amen.